Yo. Welcome back to another episode. You know what it is. The greatest podcast on the earth, brought to you by the greatest comedian on the planet, LeVar Walker. Welcome back to the LeVar Walker Daily Show podcast. Just wanted to get it in, man, because I made a commitment to this podcast and I want to keep on going. We do it every single day. It was very interesting when I got back from Arizona. So I was in Arizona this past weekend. Ended up getting back here actually Sunday. So Sunday I got back. I put a Lost podcast up on Tuesday. It was a podcast that I thought didn't get recorded or downloaded. So I ended up placing that. But I got back Sunday, get to the airport, everything's going great. Get in my car, I'm on the expressway, and what do you know? I get a blowout. I hit a tire rip to shreds as I'm driving on the expressway. And while I'm driving, I didn't really want to think that the tire was as bad as it was because I was playing the new Nas album. The new Nas album is tight. It was just one song I like on there called Legit. I love the beat. And then that beat had the five heartbeats beat on there. How's it go? You remember when you watched the five heartbeats? You got to build it up. It's just a dope ass beat. But anyway, I'm driving. Tire collapses. I pull over to the side of the road and begin to call my auto insurance, begin to call State Farm to give me some roadside coverage. And I didn't realize how difficult it is now to get roadside assistance. So I get on my app. I go on my app on State Farm to summons the roadside. When I get on that app, I get through with everything. Because they got all your information. And then some warning comes up on the screen telling me I need to call a number. Call the 1-800 number. They have me on hold for like 20 to 30 minutes. I can't get through. So I'm sitting in the car. I call my wife. I told her, look, I got to figure this out. You can head to come pick me up. I'm trying to figure it out. So I just take a deep breath because I'm not going to go into a complaining space about a blown out tire. So I just pretty much take the deep breath. I sit in the car. I'm going back and forth between this app and this text message that State Farm sends me. State Farm sends me this text message to put the information in on this text because I don't know if the app was down or what was happening. So I put all the information in. Then it requests my policy information. So I'm like, shit, now I got to find a pen. Now I got to write everything down. I can't find any paper in the car. This situation is just growing out of control literally by the second. So I sit there. I finally put all my shit in. And to my surprise, they tell me that my car doesn't have roadside coverage, which is a lie. So I end up paying $171 to get a tow, which I need to call my insurance company tomorrow to get reimbursed for that. The flatbed comes. Now I got to think about where I want them to take the car to get the tire. That's another thing. So I was like, you know what? I want it close to the house. So I took it. I dropped it off in kind of a sketchy area. I drop it off close by a gas station where this African brother typically put tires on the car because I would have bought it back to the garage and tried to jack that shit up myself and get the tire off. I used to do that all the time because I used to drive a BMW 6 Series that was on these 22-inch wheels, which were a waste of fucking money. I will never ride fancy rims. You know, I stayed on the back of a flatbed truck. So I was always used to jacking up the car, taking the tire off, putting it in the truck, finding a tire shop to fix the bend in the wheel, as well as replace the tire. So I was like, fuck that. I'm not going to do it. So I just set the car out in somewhat a sketchy area, but I had it under proper lighting. And I just basically threw my hands up. I was like, fuck it. If somebody break in there, fuck the car up. I do have insurance. It's just what it is. But it turned out, I woke up the next morning. I go to check on the car. It's fine. Tire shop opens, and my brother puts a tire on the car. I was scared that the wheel was bent, because a lot of times when I get in these accidents, or if I blow a tire out here, a lot of times my wheel was bended, but that was only with the Asantes that I had on that Beamer. I mean, that was a horrible fucking car. I hate BMWs. I had a 6 Series and a 7 Series, both of which I hate. And I can't imagine what a dumpster fire the fucking new electric 7 Series is. I would not spend 2 nickels on that shit. And even though it's electric, I know it'll be leaking. I know there's something wrong with it. There are a lot of electric car companies right now that, to me, are just playing catch-up. You know, Tesla is damn near 20 years ahead of everybody. And everybody seems to be trying to take their technology and jump to the front of the line by putting this technology in these really souped-up, luxury, expensive cars. And what I find that they lack, that Tesla has, is charging stations. Like, Tesla, the thing about Tesla and why I keep buying the stock, and I believe you guys should buy the stock too, do not take my advice 100%. I'm no stock guy, or this is just a suggestion, because Tesla controls the infrastructure. So the cool thing about Tesla, Tesla's not a car company, number one, it's a battery company. So they're getting away from the lithium ion batteries, and they're going to some type of different type of battery of 4680. But on top of that, they control the infrastructure. So Elon will be able to, you know, allow people to use the Tesla supercharging stations. But of course, that's going to be for a premium fee. And as they're charging their cars, they're seeing Tesla, which I literally love my Tesla. Even though it's an older model, I bought it used, I haven't had any issues. It's a great fucking car. And speaking of Elon Musk, I noticed today where Elon, who you know, okay, so if you don't know this, Elon Musk bought Twitter. He bought Twitter. He bought it recently, and he owns it now. And what I noticed was, and I'm going to have to Google this too, I noticed that a Twitter employee had a discussion with Elon on Twitter. And that Twitter employee ended up getting terminated on Twitter. He fired him. The man criticized Elon on Twitter, and Elon let him go. And I want to read that. I want to read that to you. Let me see if I can find it. I think I got it in my pics. But it was very interesting. So this guy is basically going off. And damn, I know I got it. Hold on one second. I got it right here. I just did a video about this recently. So this guy goes off. Hot take. I spent 6 years working on Twitter for Android and can say this is wrong. So Elon made a post. Said, by the way, I'd like to apologize for Twitter being super slow in many countries. App is doing greater than 1,000 poorly batched RPCs just to render a home timeline. I don't know what poorly batched RPCs are, but this is what Elon says. And this man must have replied. I have spent 6 years working on Twitter for Android. I can say this is wrong. I don't know what he's saying is wrong. I don't know. But somebody replied to the guy and go, I have been a developer for 20 years. And I can tell you, this is somebody that replied to the guy who said they spent 6 years working on Twitter for Android and tell Elon he's wrong. And the guy replies to him and goes, I've been a developer for 20 years and I can tell you that as the domain expert, you should inform your boss privately. Trying to one-up him in public while he is trying to learn and be helpful makes you look like a spiteful, self-serving deviant. And this guy responds to him saying maybe he should ask questions privately, maybe using Slack or email. And the guy replies to Elon Musk and says, Elon, with this kind of attitude, you probably don't want this guy on your team. And Elon replied to the guy and says he's fired. So Elon basically terminated this guy in front of the world on Twitter. And my thing is, I don't know what made this guy think that this man just bought this company for $44 billion of his bread. His ass is on the line. And as an employee, you're just going to come on the fucking platform and shit on the owner of the company. I mean, give me a break, man. You need to call me, man. What the fuck? I'm thinking about myself, what the fuck did he expect to happen? Did he expect Elon to say, oh, man, you're right, buddy. Yeah, I'm wrong. You know, if Elon sets that precedent, everybody at Twitter is kicking him in his ass as the owner. As the owner, you have to be the boss. Your ass is on the line, not this engineer's ass. I just don't know where we are, man. Like, people are lost in society or some shit. I just don't understand. I just don't understand. And how good is it to be Elon Musk when you say to yourself, you're tired of Twitter blocking you or flagging your page or whatever it's doing. And you say, you know what? Fuck that. I'm going to buy Twitter. How rich is that? Now, that's some rich shit. I know rappers often rap about money and shit like that, but that's a definite bar. Could you imagine if fucking Elon Musk was rapping? Could you imagine if this nigga was an MC? What kind of shit he'd be spitting? And what could you say? And you know what's funny? I talked to Donnell Rawlins. Donnell, good friend. Very funny. And Donnell is on the road with Dave Chappelle, performs with Dave Chappelle, a.k.a. Ashy Larry. I saw Elon Musk at the show. So I talked to Donnell. I called Donnell. I said, yo, what the fuck was that like for Elon Musk to be at the show? Just to have Elon Musk come to your fucking comedy show. Now, here's a guy that's sending people to the Mars and building rockets and running an electric car company. Boring holes through LA for underground expressways and just bought Twitter. What the fuck do you say to this guy? So Donnell tells me he sees this guy. The guy comes with a fucking robot dog and his girlfriend. And Donnell said, yo, son, you ever been in a room where a motherfucker could fuck everybody in the room? I was like, okay, I see where this is going. I see what you mean. So everybody must have been quiet and like, wow, you know what I mean? Because this guy comes around super smart, the richest motherfucker in the room is also, and at the same time being like this fucking genius, I'm sure everybody like felt awkward as fuck. I wouldn't know. How do you have a conversation with Elon Musk? What do you say? What do you say? How do you have a conversation with Elon Musk to make him go, huh, wow, how do you blow this guy's mind away? What the fuck can you say? He talking about shit on Mars. And bro, I could do shit but sit and be quiet. Like, that was such an interesting dynamic to hear about him just coming to a fucking comedy show. And just to perform in front of him, I'm like, well, what the fuck I'm supposed to... I'm performing in front of this nigga like, what if... I don't think he's getting these bits. I don't even know what bit to do in front of no guy. What do you do? Ah, but anyway. Moving on, people. Moving the fuck on. I got up this morning, went to the gym. Got it in at the gym. It felt good. It felt good. I'm using this app. It's called the Workout app, and it's pretty much like a trainer. And basically gives me new exercises and all kind of shit when I'm working out, and it helps me. And it's doing good. And then you can work out at your own pace. One thing about working out, you might have a bad set every now and then, but I think the main thing is just you showing the fuck up. You know, just keep showing up, staying consistent. And I think overall, you'll feel better. So that is that. That is that. I've been doing a lot of auditions too. So I've been doing a lot of auditions for different television shows and movies. And nowadays, so if there are any comedians listening, you really don't have to move to Hollywood anymore, because they pretty much, everybody is self-taping. Nobody goes into a damn office anymore to do auditions. You don't see the casting director. You just get an email, you do a self-tape, and you send it back in. And I've been blessed. I've been getting a lot of fucking self-tapes. And hopefully, who knows, maybe I'll book something. And if I don't book anything, it's okay, because we got Life and Beth Season 2. We'll start filming that in January. So it's coming. Everything is moving along. And then we're turning around now. It's almost the end of the year. I mean, this fucking year really flew by. I feel like, you know, my dad told me one time, he said, son, the older you get, the faster time flies. He said, pretty soon, years will feel like weeks. Then they will feel like days and minutes. The older you get. I was like, wow, and this is true, because this year was a blur. But it was a good year, though. It was a good year. I got to do a lot of traveling. I headlined many comedy clubs. Most comedy clubs I ever headlined was this year. So I don't have any complaints, man. Life is good. And I'm going to tell you something, too. You know, when people call you and they ask you how you're doing, tell them you're doing amazing. I don't give a fuck how bad you're doing. But tell them you're doing amazing. Speak what you want into existence. Fuck it. You know, life is all perception anyway. So I think it's important to just speak that shit into existence. Speak about what you got going on. But don't be hard on yourself. Be nice. Be nice to yourself. Be nice. Oh, wow. Now they on Joe Psy. Joe Psy, who is the owner of the Brooklyn Nets, he still wants Kyrie to apologize after sitting with Kyrie, saying that Kyrie is not anti-Semitic. And they kicking Kyrie in the ass just for posting a fucking tweet, man. He didn't mention anything. He just posted a tweet, and they like kicking him in his ass. And they want him to get on his knees and just apologize. And Joe Tsai, who is the owner of the Brooklyn Nets. Joe Tsai was one of the co-founders of a website called Alibaba, I'm guessing, which is like a Chinese Amazon. And he owns the Brooklyn Nets, and he wants him to do what he's told. And now, with social media, the tables are turning on him. And people are calling out Josiah. They calling him out. They calling him out. They calling him out and telling him he's wrong. This is really an interesting time because, you know, no matter where you are on the totem pole, you don't have to be the little guy. Because with social media, you have a voice. And it seems like people will come to your aid. Mm-hmm. man, he shouldn't have been punished. Kyrie shouldn't have been punished for posting no fucking link. He didn't even say shit. He didn't even know. He even apologized for the shit, but they still just want to kick him in his ass. It's very interesting. It is very interesting where we at right now. And I guess this shit is like these athletes that everybody is seeing, like athletes and entertainers. It's almost like, it seems like some slave master shit, you know? It's very, very interesting, man. I don't really know where we headed with it right now. So that is very, very interesting to me. Josiah. But shit, the Nets not winning no fucking game. Let me see where the Nets are in the standings. Nets standings. Where are they in the league? Oh, they number 12 out of 14 teams. Damn. Number one in the Western NBA Conference is the Trailblazers. Number one in the Eastern Conference is the Celtics. Number two is the Bucks. And number three is the Hawks. That is interesting. I think, you know what? Speaking of that, you know, the Nets being damn near last place. The fucking Lakers. Where you want the Lakers at? The Lakers are in almost last. They're in 14. The Lakers are in 14th out of 15. And the Nets are 12 out of 15. And this just tells me that God doesn't like super teams. It's time for all NBA players to battle it out. You could be friends off the court, but on that court, y'all need to be enemies and just battling it out. Because this group shit and everybody being friends, this shit is kind of whack. It doesn't make really for a compelling NBA. Right? It's not. I don't need 30 all-stars to be friends and shit and kicking it, man. Y'all got to be, you know what I mean? Like Jordan, when Jordan was hooping, even with Barkley, he was there to kill him, to destroy him. And they were really good friends. They was tight. You know what I'm saying? And Barkley bought Michael some. No, Michael Jordan bought Charles Barkley some diamond earrings during the playoffs for the Phoenix Suns, only to soften this motherfucker up so Jordan can go in there and kill him, which is crazy. Hey, you know what? Speaking of Barkley, I met Charles Barkley at a restaurant. And I told everybody, and I said, hey, man, why you don't talk to Michael no more? Man, I'm going to tell you, man. See, I tell it like it is. I mean, Michael's the greatest basketball player of all time, but he's one of the worst general managers ever. I was like, damn, you real. I mean, that motherfucker, he keeps it real, so. I can see that, and I can see why Michael cut him off. Because to be Michael Jordan, I guess you just automatically an asshole. I mean, to be as great as Michael Jordan is and just almost treated like some type of god, you know, you can see where the asshole shit comes from with the longest selling sneaker, the best player, one ever, just broke every fucking record, and he has this insane competitive edge. But one thing I don't like about Jordan and the Jordan family is that, first of all, it's wrong as hell for your son, Michael Jordan, to be fucking Scottie Pippen's ex-wife. And I mean, come on. Is it because Scottie must have gotten his feelings. He said some things about Michael Jordan. He was probably a little bit emotional. You know, he was probably a little bit emotional, which is understandable. He said some shit, maybe like LeBron is better than some shit, but I guess Scottie is in his feelings. But at the end of the day, the legend and the magic that was built with the Chicago Bulls, man. I mean, there was no better duo. Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen were literally Batman and Robin in the NBA. And now Batman's son is fucking Robin's ex-wife. And I'm just disgusted by it. And to Marcus Jordan, the son, bruh, all this pussy in the world, you can't just say no to that. And just say no to it, because just for the commitment, just for the history that Scottie made with your dad. Not only for the history, but for what they both did together for the city of Chicago. Just in uplifting the morale of the city. They were a dynamic duo. Just the respect of that, and all the niggas in the neighborhood, niggas everywhere love Mike. Everybody in the city love Mike. Come on, man. Come on. Can't you walk away? All this, and then she old, bruh. She done been through futures. Scotty, come on, man. And you know, Marcus Jordan need to know this. If your daddy come in the room and drop his pants, she gonna be on them nuts. I hope you know that. If you don't think that she's using you to get to your father, you're crazy. You're crazy. So I'm just gonna leave this podcast here. That's it. And we're gonna wrap it up. And I'm gonna talk to you guys tomorrow. So this has been another episode of LeVar Walker Daily Show Podcast. I need y'all guys to keep tuning in. I'll keep going, man. If I got some shows, I can make announcements on here and shit. And I like this, you know, it's just a little meeting, you know, we just grind and we'll grow. We're going to grow this shit back up, and I appreciate the love, guys. But guess what? I'm out. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow. So long.